Welcome back to the swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today we're going to be fighting off hordes of chupacabras and trying to keep that pesky old dogman away as we're camping in the most remote of areas. As always, viewers of the swamp sent in their allegedly true and creepy experiences while camping. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further ado, let us jump right into these creepy and downright strange camping horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Strange Light in Jersey by Barude Torchu. In the early 90s, my parents sent me to a YMCA summer camp in the New Jersey Pine Barrens. It was called Camp Metalionique and was located on the shores of a series of man-made lakes called Medford Lakes, so not precisely backwoods, but not really in the center of town either. We all knew the stories of the Jersey Devil, but the camp had a few of its own ghost stories. The White Lady, said to have jumped off a bridge on her wedding day, and Hatchet Harry, an axe-wielding maniac who got kids who wandered into the woods. Both stories were meant to keep kids from wandering off. I encountered neither of those. I woke up in the middle of the night in my bunk and heard rustling in the bushes. The cabins were at a half wall with a screened-in window all around, save for the back wall. It had 8 bunk beds, 4 on each side. You could lay in your bunk and look right out the windows. It sucked when it rained because there were no shutters. I had heard some rustling, so I grabbed my flashlight and shined it into the bushes across from the front of the cabin, sweeping from bottom to top. There was nothing else in that direction save for woods, as our cabin group was right on the edge of the camp. I saw nothing out there, so I put my flashlight back down and settled back in. Then, this light appeared. It was a bluish-white light flickering slightly like a firefly. The light slowly followed the same path my flashlight had traced, bottom to top, and then disappeared. It really scared me, but I didn't want to wake the grouchy counselor. So, I don't know. She wouldn't have really believed me anyway, since I was already seen as a troublemaker. So I just kind of squidged into my sleeping bag and tried to get back to sleep. I never did see it again after that point. My best guess is some sort of firefly who thought my flashlight was a prospective mate, although the fireflies in that area usually had a greenish hue to them. I've shared this story over the years, but I'm still waiting for a solid response. Nobody seems to really know what happened that night. I found this show recently and decided I wanted to share it and see what anybody else would think. Something is in the woods. By a random person. I live in a small town in Montana, nestled in the Rockies. My house is just a few miles from a vast expanse of national forest land. It's beautiful for sure, but it can be incredibly isolating and daunting. That isolation is part of why I love it, but after what happened, it's also why I'm low-key terrified. Last Saturday, I decided to go for a late hike in the afternoon and maybe scout out a place to camp. There's a trail that I often visit. It winds up to a small clearing overlooking the valley. I brought my dog, Max, a German Shepherd who's never been spooked by anything. We set off sometime around 3 p.m., thinking we'd be back before the sunset. The hike was rather uneventful. The forest was serene, and the only sounds were of the rustling leaves and the occasional chirping of birds. Max was his usual self, darting ahead and then circling back to me, which was perfect because, basically, he was my prospective lookout. I loved the way the day was. It was exactly why I moved out here. When we reached the clearing, I sat on a fallen log to catch my breath and enjoy the view. Max continued sniffing around, but after a couple of minutes, he seemingly froze in place. He stared at the tree line on the opposite side of the clearing. His ears perked up, and his body tensed. "What's up, boy?" I asked, trying to see what he was looking at. That's when I noticed it. At first, it was just a shadow of something between the trees. I squinted, thinking maybe it was a deer or something of the like, but then it stepped out into the clearing. It looked like a person, but not quite. It was tall and gaunt, with limbs that seemed far too long for its body. Its skin was pale, almost grayish, and its eyes were completely black. Max started growling, a low, menacing sound I had never heard before. The figure took a step forward, and that's when I noticed it mimicked my movements from earlier, almost like it was replaying a tape of me walking. Then, it spoke.
Max, what's up, boy?
The voice was mine, but it was wrong. I felt a chill run down my spine, and Max started barking furiously. The figure stopped, tilted its head, and then turned around, disappearing into the trees. I didn't stick around to see if it would come back or what it was doing. I grabbed Max by the collar and practically ran down the trail. It was starting to get dark, and every plan I had of camping there had now been trashed. Every sound made me jump. Max kept looking back, growling intermittently. We made it home just as the light was fading. I locked all of my doors, all of my windows, which I rarely do. I tried to calm myself down, rationalizing that it was some trick of the light or another hiker messing with me. But deep down, I knew it wasn't that. That night I couldn't sleep. Every creak of the house made me jump, and Max was restless, pacing around the living room. I heard it around 2 a.m., just as I was about to doze off.
Max, what's up, boy?
It was faint, almost like a whisper. But again, it was my voice. It was coming from the outside near the tree line. Needless to say, I did not sleep much at all after that. When the sun finally rose, I took Max and drove into town. I needed to be around people, somewhere that didn't feel so exposed. I told my friend Jake about it, and he just laughed, then said I'd been out in the woods for far too long. And hell, maybe he's right. Maybe I need to get out of the woods and move back to town or something. I haven't been back to that trail since. Whenever I think about hiking, camping, fishing, I hear that voice again. And I can't bring myself to leave the house. I don't know what I saw, but I'm sure of one thing. It saw me too. The Voices Around Our Camp by No Relation. I recently drove home from school to work for the summer before returning, and I have yet to go up to the only national forest in Wisconsin, about 5 hours from my house. I took a friend along with me, and we left on a Saturday sometime around 10 a.m. and got there at around 3 p.m., Because the forest roads we took were pretty bad and pretty bumpy, it took longer than expected. The mosquitoes this time of year are freaking terrible, and the Headwaters Wilderness is mostly swamp and marsh. So we hiked around for about 5 miles before finding a camping spot down an abandoned, but marked, forest road that led to the private property about 4 miles in. The private property had no access, but I saw it was not part of the federal land on the Gaia GPS app. This road was extremely overgrown, with giant ostrich ferns reaching 3 to 4 feet tall on the entire path. Downed limbs were everywhere, and every half mile it felt like there was another pothole. There was plenty of dead wood to spark a nice forest fire as well. We had set up our packs about a mile back and explored it further, hoping to find something more remarkable than essentially a solo beech forest. When it started to get dark, we decided to turn around. When circumnavigating a downed tree, we found a full 3-foot-tall shelter that had taken some time to build. It looked like it had a complete interior of sticks as well. I'm slightly superstitious, so I recognized the potential for it to be a nisei or something similar. So we found some good old wood to leave as offerings and went on our way. Later that night, our fire reignited after we had used a whole gallon to douse it with no wind. I heard footsteps around our tent after my friend had used the restroom and returned to his tent. I listened to what sounded like a log smacking to the base of a tree in a 1-2-3 pattern every 5 minutes or so each hour until the morning. And I swear, there was a slight, I don't know how to explain it, like giggle or voice on the wind. I got out of there first thing in the morning. Nothing necessarily nefarious happened, but I don't know. Maybe it was something to do with that Nisei being mischievous that we walked up upon. But it could just be me being overly religious with an overactive imagination. Odd Noises While Primitive Camping by Anonymous. This happened in 2021. My husband and three kids love primitive camping, and Loyal Sauk is the closest state forest that allows it. My husband and the dog left an hour before us, and he picked the site a bit off the trail. When we got there, he had camp set up, but my oldest, who was 12 then, and I had a really uneasy feeling. We pushed through and were enjoying our day together regardless, though. My son and I had to walk back to the car for something about 1/4 mile away from our site. It's a straight line. There's no real way we could miss it. But as we walked, we realized nothing looked familiar, and that unsettling feeling crept back in. Soon we came to a paved road that shouldn't have even been there. I even checked the map. The uneasy feeling just got worse. I wanted to keep walking because the car had to be here somewhere. But my son began to break down into tears, begging to turn around. So we did, walking back that same line. And eventually, we were back at camp. When I set off again to the car, I walked the exact same path I had before, and I somehow found the car. For the rest of the afternoon, something just felt off, and I noticed no bird sounds or wind. It was just silence. I had such a bad feeling that I couldn't settle down, so I begged everyone to go to bed before nightfall. I hardly slept that night due to the uneasy feeling and the deafening silence that was all around us. But sometime at around 3:30 in the morning, I heard what sounded like a mechanical whirring sound. Maybe like a drone, but it was loud, like it was right outside our tent. As soon as I went to get up and try to check it up and wake up my husband, it just seemingly stopped. And the silence was back. But it's not like it slowly went away and stopped, like as if a drone was flying away. It just stopped the moment it heard noise. I don't know. I don't know. Usually, when we camp places, there's all kinds of typical forest noises. And the next day, when we moved to a different site, all the insects and forest noises that you'd expect were there. I should note as well that my dog was an anxious mess that whole time we were at the first campsite. He kept pacing and looking around and whimpering. Something was up there. I don't know what it was. I couldn't even begin to give you a guess, but something strange is going on. The Night Watchman of Stillwood Forest by Arnold P. I took the job because it was supposed to be easy. Who wouldn't want to get paid for wandering around a peaceful national forest at night? Sure, there were the usual duties like checking in on the few campers who dared to stay overnight, ensuring they followed the rules, and occasionally dealing with a bear or a curious raccoon. But overall, it seemed like a gig that would give me plenty of time to clear my head and think. I never expected that my first fundamental shift would actually be my last. Stillwood Forest wasn't large by any means and wasn't very well known. Nestled in a remote part of the state, it was kind of a place where locals came to escape the bustle of everyday life. The forest was dotted with a few campsites, hiking trails, and a small lake that looked like it was pulled straight from a postcard. I had heard rumors about the place, of course. Every small town has its ghost stories and urban legends. I laughed them off at the time, but now, I honestly wish I hadn't been so quick to dismiss them. It was an absolutely beautiful, crisp night in mid-September when my ordeal began. The forest was quieter than usual. With only 2 occupied campsites, I started my patrol around 10 p.m., armed with only a flashlight, a walkie-talkie, and a thermos of coffee. I always thought it was overkill to carry the radio, but protocol was protocol. The first site I visited was occupied by a family of 4. a mom, a dad, and two younger kids. They were roasting marshmallows over a campfire, laughter echoing through the trees. I checked in with them briefly, exchanging pleasantries before moving on. The second site was a bit further away, closer to the lake. A lone camper, an older gentleman named Henry, I believe, had set up his tent, and he was a regular known for his love of fishing and solitude. When I arrived, he was already asleep, the embers of the campfire dying down. Satisfied that everything was in order, I returned to the main trail. It must have been around midnight when I heard it. A low, guttural sound that seemed to come from the forest depths. At first, I thought it was just an animal, maybe a deer or a bear. But the noise was unlike anything I had honestly ever heard. It sent a chill down my spine, raising the hairs on the back of my neck. I stopped, scanning the darkness with my flashlight, but saw nothing unusual. Shaking off the unease, I continued my patrol. The sound came again, louder this time and closer. It was a mixture of a growl and a groan, primal and menacing. My heart pounded in my chest as I turned toward the direction of the noise, a flashlight beam cutting through the night, just beyond the edge of light. I saw movement, a shadow slipping between the trees. It was tall and humanoid, but distorted. For a moment, I thought my mind was playing tricks on me. Maybe it was a trick of the light or my imagination running wild. But then I saw the eyes. They were glowing. They were piercing. They seemed to bore into my soul. They were a sickly yellow, filled with an evil intelligence. The creature stepped into the light and my breath caught in my throat. It stood over 7 feet tall. Its skin was pale and stretched over tightly over a skeletal frame. Its limbs were long and spindly, ending in sharp, claw-like fingers. Its mouth was twisted into a grin, revealing rows of jagged teeth. Panic set in, and I did the only thing I could think of. I ran. I bolted down the trail, my heart hammering in my chest and my lungs burning. Behind me, I could hear the creature's heavy footsteps gaining on me. I fumbled for my walkie-talkie, desperate to call for help. My hands shook as I pressed the button, and my voice came out in a strangled whisper. "This is Sam. I need help. There's something in the forest. Something wrong." Static cackled through the radio, followed by my supervisor's voice. "Calm down, Sam. Where are you?" "Near the lake," I gasped. "It's following me." I didn't wait for his response. I kept running, the flashlight beam bouncing wildly with each step. The path seemed to stretch forever, the trees closing in around me. The creature's growls grew louder and more frantic. I glanced over my shoulder at some point and saw the creature was closer than I ever thought it could be, its eyes glowing with a predatory hunger. Up ahead, I saw a faint light, the ranger station. A surge of hope propelled me forward. I burst through the door, slamming it shut behind me and locking it. My breath came in a ragged gasp as I leaned against the door, trying to calm my racing heart. I grabbed my radio again, my voice shaking. "I'm at the station. It's outside." There was a pause, and Mike's voice came on. It sounded laced with concern. He said to stay inside and that he'd be on his way. I sank into my chair, eyes fixed on the door. Outside, I could hear the creature moving around, its claws scraping against the wooden walls. It released a low, menacing growl that sent shivers down my spine. I glanced around the room, searching for anything I could use as a weapon. My eyes fell on a rusty old axe hanging on the wall. It wasn't much, but it was going to have to do. Hell, it was better than absolutely nothing in my bare hands. Gripping the axe tightly, I positioned myself by the door, ready to defend myself. Minutes felt like hours as I waited, the tension in the air thick enough to cut with a knife. The creature continued to prowl outside, its growls growing more agitated. Finally, I heard the sound of a vehicle approaching. Mike's voice crackled over the radio. "I'm here, stay where you are." The creature was illuminated by the headlights of Mike's truck, and for a brief moment, I saw it. It was even more horrifying than I had even realized, its skin glistening in the light, its eyes burning with rage. Mike stepped out of the truck, shotgun in hand. "Get away from the door," he shouted. I scrambled back as Mike fired a shot. The creature let out a roar and lunged at him. Another shot rang out and the beast staggered, but it didn't go down. I watched in horror as it swiped at Mike, knocking him to the ground. I knew I had to act. Gripping the axe, I flung the door open and charged at the creature, screaming at the top of my lungs. It turned towards me, eyes blinging. It turned towards me, eyes blazing with hatred. I swung the axe with all my might, swinging the blade into its side. The beast let out a blood-curdling scream and ran away into the sprawling forest. Pain shot through my body as I fell to the ground, though, because it did end up getting me a good swipe on my knee. Now, for just a moment, everything fell silent. The creature released one final, shuddering scream as it was running off into the forest. We did report the incident to authorities and higher up, but the creature's body, if it had died, was never found, and I'd never heard anything else about it. All that remained were deep gouges in the ground and lingering senses of dread. They chalked it up to a bear attack, but we knew the truth. To this day, I don't know what that creature was or where it came from. I quit my job the next day, and I couldn't bring myself to set foot in that forest ever again. The memory of those glowing eyes and twisted grin haunts my dreams. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange camping horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. You can also send them in on Reddit at r/thedarkswamp. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Stories like yours will help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this episode gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that's incredibly helpful. Let's see if we can't hit 800 likes on this episode. If you guys would be so kind as to also help the swamp grow by leaving a comment down below, letting me know what story was your favorite tonight, that would be very helpful. That also helps these videos grow. Thank you guys so much for supporting the swamp the way you do. I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode. If you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you all soon.